My brother Brickhouse is right. There is no more beautiful ordinance in the church than that of blessing a baby. In the introduction that I have for my brother, I can't tell you how much I appreciate his help and how much assistance he's been to me in this past year. Well, really, in the number of years that we've served together. I have the utmost respect for him. I know that it is his desire to speak with you this day about our Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifices that our Lord Jesus Christ made. So I ask that you would give him your undivided attention, your smiles, and your love. Elder Steve McGee.
Good morning. Tell you without reservation that I am truly humbled by the task that lies before me this morning. There's just a few times during the year that our sermons are have a theme, a natural theme. One of them might be Mother's Day, one Father's Day, most definitely Christmas. And most definitely, this day. I trust that each one of us has come here this morning with one name upon our hearts. I trust that each one of us has come here this morning thinking about the events that took place so long ago. Just a few days. It happened in just a few days. And that's what I'm going to be speaking about this morning, naturally. Those events that were planned from the very beginning. From the very beginning of creation. And everything that is, all creation hangs upon those events that are upon your heart this morning. There is nothing that I can think of more important than what I'm going to attempt to preach about this morning. And I'm going to open with the scripture. And believe it or not, it's out of Isaiah. And it is the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And as I was preparing for this sermon, this was the first scripture that came to my mind. Some 700 years before this event took place, Isaiah was prophesying of it. He was telling us what was going to happen. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I sometimes look back and I think about time frames. And to me, I look at Isaiah and I think the time of Christ, you know, they're fairly close. But we need to put these things in perspective, 700 years. You know, that's before Christopher Columbus. Fact is, that's before Christopher Columbus's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was thought about. And we need to think about that. Some 700 years before the event took place, Isaiah was talking about it. And he was talking about it from the perspective of a Jew. When he says we, he means we, as far as being a part of that race. And I'd like to start with the first verse. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And he is describing the countenance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I dare say that each one of us, when we think about Jesus Christ in our mind's eye, we have an idea of what he looks like. I do, you know. And it's very much what Isaiah is describing here. Nothing that would set him apart out in the crowd as far as his looks. But he goes on. And he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we, this is Isaiah speaking of his people, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I want you to pay particular attention to this fourth verse. And what do you picture here? I know what I picture. I'm going to tell you what I picture. I picture our Lord and Savior with the cross on his back. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And as he is carrying that cross with him to where he is going to be put to death, that is exactly what he was doing. That is what that cross implies. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. They didn't recognize what was taking place, the magnitude of what was taking place. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. They are talking about, after the trial had taken place, they are talking about what took place to Jesus Christ. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was spit upon. Thorns were placed upon his head. That is what Isaiah is describing in this 53rd chapter. And with those stripes, and with that beating, and with that humiliation, we can be healed. We are like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The magnitude of that event. All the sins of the world. All the sins of mankind up to that point, from that point forward, for all eternity, were laid upon him. And this event that took place. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. He was taken prisoner. He was carried away. He was brought before the chief elders, the chief priest. He was brought before Pilate, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth, not one single word. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Are you going to declare it? Are you going to declare his generation? As you leave this service, as you leave every service, are you ready to declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, for the transgression of you. Are you ready to declare it? Have you been declaring it? Have I been declaring it? And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. You know what he's talking about there. You remember Joseph, the rich man, who begged for his body? And what did he do? He took the body of Jesus and he laid it in his tomb. That is what exactly verse 9 is talking about. That rich man. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Now, as you read that first phrase, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. What do you think about? During the events leading up to the crucifixion, preceding, what do you think about? Well, you know what came to my mind immediately when I read that? I'm thinking of the garden. I am thinking of the garden. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I want to turn to Matthew, the 26th verse, 26 chapters. I'm going to read it. And I want to see if you don't agree with me. Starting with the 36th verse. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, I want you to think about what I just read in Isaiah and see if Isaiah, some 700 years before, is not describing this exact event. Then say he unto them, Peter and the two sons, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. We need to think about that. He had a foreknowledge of all these things that were going to take place. He knew what was going to happen. Every detail. The humiliation, the pain. Our Lord and Savior knew that. And what did he do? He took three and he said, be here with me. It's so hard. Be here with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, those three that he wanted help from, wanted support from. He cometh to his disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you know, I have wondered about that. I have wondered about those three that he took for the support. His soul was hurting unto death. And he took three, and they fell asleep. And I've wondered about that. I've wondered why. Because it had to be. Even this suffering, Christ had to do alone. No support on his own. It had to be. When I was a child, and no doubt when you were children, and you did something wrong, quite often, no, not quite often, always, the anticipation of what was going to happen was far worse. Was far worse. This is what our Lord and Savior was going through at this time. I will read on. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink of it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then came he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. It's happening. It's starting. This is it. And the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. I'm going to turn back into that Isaiah. The 53rd, I'm going to finish. The chapter. 11. And he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servants justify many. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his spirit unto death. Everyone is covered. Everyone can be covered by his spilt blood. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And we know that after Gethsemane, after they came to arrest our Lord and Savior, that his disciples left. Did they not? They scattered. They fled. They ran. The scriptures tell us that. Would you do it? Would you do the same thing? Would you leave, forsake, get scared, abandon our Lord and Savior at this time, when the perils are tough, when the ramifications are deadly? Would you leave? You would like to say, no, I would stay. You know, I would be there. I would do it. I would like to think, and I dare say you would like to think, I would not forsake him even unto death. But I tell you what, I have, and I dare say that you have. Those of you who have made a commitment, who have made a covenant with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from time to time in my life, I have forsaken that covenant and those promises. I have forsaken Jesus Christ. When the trials in this life, the perils, the circumstances have come upon us, yes, we have. And I think we would be foolish not to admit that. Not to admit that I failed, that I ran. But he did it anyway, in our weakness. Our Savior went through the mockery of a trial. And I'd like to turn, I'm going to use various Gospels this day. I want to turn to Mark, the 15th chapter of Mark. I'm going to read the first 20 verses. And straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. We just read about that in Isaiah, didn't we? We just read about this event. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said unto him, "Thou sayest." And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many times they witness against thee." Look what they're saying about you. Just say something in your defense, on your behalf. And Jesus yet answered nothing. So that Pilate, he marveled. He marveled at this man. Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomever they desired. This time of year, one prisoner was set free. It was the custom. And you know the story. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him. He fought against the Romans, which was a death sentence, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to, as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. This Pilate knew that Jesus Christ was innocent. He knew the motivation behind these chief priests and these elders. But the chief priests moved the people that they should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again to them, "What will ye that I shall do unto him who ye call the King of the Jews?" "Whatever you say, I will do." And they cried again, "Crucify him." I am not going in detail of what a crucifixion is. We know that Christ showed them his hands. And it was a slow death. It was made that way on purpose. And they said, "Crucify him." They could have said something else, but they said, "Crucify him." How could they do that? You know, he was one of their own. He was one of their own. Yet they cried for this crucifixion. I would never do that. You know? I would never do that. the suffering of our Lord and Savior? Would never do that. No, I wouldn't say that. You know, the Scriptures tell me that once I have been enlightened, once I have accepted Jesus Christ, once I have received Him as my Lord and Savior, and asked Him to forgive my sins, that if I sin again, what have I done but crucify Him again? We dare not say that. We dare not set ourselves up. Because we've done it. And we know that Scripture. I know that Scripture. You know that Scripture. I want to turn to the 19th chapter of John. Christ was delivered. He was tried. He was mocked. He was whipped. He was beaten. Now the crucifixion. Starting with the 16th verse. After all this had taken place, then delivered He Him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led Him away. And He, bearing His cross, went forth unto a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him and two others with Him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And as it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, this place was right outside of Jerusalem. And He wrote it in all the languages that were predominant there, so people would see and read. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Kind of a profound statement, wasn't it? Whether Pilate knew it or not, he made a very profound statement. Then the soldiers which had crucified Jesus took His garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also His coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Let's gamble for this. It was worth something. Whose it shall be, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. I have a hard time getting through these next few verses, so please bear with me. I really have a difficult time imagining anyone's mother standing and watching this take place. I imagine my mom, you know. I imagine your mother. I imagine these things. We need to imagine this, the magnitude of this. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother, and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, when Jesus therefore... When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, he took care of his mama at the last hour. He finished it all. Knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. And Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It's finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Now those who are without a hope in Jesus Christ, who don't know Jesus Christ, would think that was all. But you and I know different. We don't think different. We know different. That this life isn't the end. It's just a stepping stone to life eternal. Eternity with our Lord and Savior. We do know that after this took place, that his body was laid in that rich man's tomb. We know that it lay there for 3 days. And I'd like to turn to the 20th chapter of John. And I'd like to read of that event that you and I have come here this morning to remember. Not just this morning, but this day. Hopefully every day of our lives. Starting with the first verse. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre. She seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came unto the sepulchre. And they ran both together. They ran fast. They ran. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looked in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeing the linen cloth and seeth the linen cloth lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Peter was looking. He was observing. He saw something different here. He recognized that this was not somebody that stole the body. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulcher, and see it, two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Why are you crying?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." She doesn't realize. She doesn't recognize what has taken place. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. And she knew not that it was Jesus. She saw somebody. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, the guy who took care of the place, the guy who kept it in the right order, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Please, please, I want the body of my Lord and Savior." And Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." How many times has that happened to you? How many times has that very thing happened to you? Do you remember the first time? Do you remember the first time that Jesus spoke your name and you recognized who it was? Probably some of you who have been raised in this church probably don't remember the first time. But I know that you all remember times. Times that you've got caught up as Mary was, and so concerned that you couldn't see right and think right and do right, and all of a sudden it says, "Diane, Diane," or "Harvey," and you recognize that the Lord was speaking to you. How many times has that happened to your life? Just like it did to Mary. It happens. We do get caught up. We do lose sight. And He speaks to us. We believe that in this church. We believe that Jesus Christ speaks to our heart and speaks verbally to us. Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended." Not yet ascended to my Father. "But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. And He stood in their midst, and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And that is also our commission in this church. You have been called, you have been chosen, and He is sending us forth. And guess what else? And when He said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I've received it. You have received it. We have received our commission. The Lord and Savior died and was resurrected, and so will be. We will be also. the sting of death is, there is no more sting of death. We know that we will live again because of these events, because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will live again. We will be resurrected. This day is not a time to be sad. This day is not a time to be concerned about the cares of this world. This day is a time to rejoice that this took place. A time to praise God, to think upon this, to think upon how blessed we are. And I tell you what, I'm going to close this service with a phrase that our brother Frank used for an opening sermon. And I'm going to say, praise be to God. Praise be to God because of this. Because of this day that we think about the events and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His death and His resurrection. Praise be to God. Thank you.
Yes, praise be to God. This has been a beautiful day. We have witnessed our brothers and sisters united in prayer for one of our loved ones. We have witnessed the blessing of a baby. And then our brother Brickhouse's blessing upon the baby, he challenged not only the parents, but the grandparents and the great-grandparents. And not just his family, but all of you to be cognizant of the fact that it is all of our responsibilities to teach the young about Jesus Christ. And we've heard the marvelous death of our Savior and His resurrection. I ask that you will come back and unite with us tonight as Brother Bill Malone comes to share the Word of God with us. I ask that you might come at midweek, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. This evening at 6:30, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for our midweek prayer service. I do have an announcement that April 14th, Tuesday, Women's Department, there's going to be a craft. And it's at 7 p.m. at Lisa McGee's. April 20th, it's Monday, is the East Locals Business Meeting at 7 o'clock. Remember, next Sunday, arrive early, and we'll have the Sunday School's business meeting. May 15th through the 17th, Friday through Sunday, is Toppenish Youth Retreat. July 13th through the 17th, Monday through Friday, Vacation Church School at the Temple Lot. The theme, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Don't forget about the growth committee. Let's continue to remember our loved ones that stand in need of our prayers. Let's turn to hymn number 305.